Earlier in the week, poor Martin tested COVID positive and quite rightly felt he wasn't able to be with us today. Extremely generously, he has come to my workload rescue and prepared this morning's sermon, which I shall be more than privileged and relieved to deliver. Martha and Mary. Martha or Mary, perhaps. Just the mention of those two names, and we already think we know exactly what we are talking about, based mainly on today's gospel reading. We may well take sides between the two sisters based on our own temperaments and predilections. Martha, the humble servant-hearted worker, or Martha, the fussy, worldly, busybody, who couldn't see that here was something, someone, more important than her work. Mary, the spiritual, insightful person of vision. Or Martha, with her head in the clouds, too heavenly minded to notice the very real earthly needs of all around her. On the face of it, Jesus' response to Martha's demand that her sister come to help her with the work seems to take Mary's side. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus isn't saying that the tasks faced by Martha are unimportant or unnecessary. They would have included getting a meal ready, and Jesus almost certainly ate and enjoyed that meal after all. Rather, Jesus is making the point that for all his followers, the first thing, the most important thing, is to come to him, to listen to him. If we start like that, if we start every day with prayer, just being with him, then our activities, our doings, will not fluster us, because they will be empowered by our relationship with God. They will spring out of our being in him. For churches and for individual Christians, there are often more things to be done than time to do them in. There are choices to be made, priorities to be established, and we need to first seek God's will. Jesus will have sympathized with Martha. No one's daily work was busier than his ministry, with the relentless pressure of the crowds, the opposition of the authorities, and the training needs of the disciples. Yet no one was calmer than him, despite all the turbulence going on around him. The reason for this was that he knew the most important thing for him, the first thing, was to spend time in prayer with the Father. Often he would go out to a lonely place at break of day and allow God to prepare him for that day's events. When he had an important decision to make, he always sought God's will first. Before appointing the disciples, he went up a mountain to pray, then called the disciples up to him. At a later supper in Martha and Mary's house, following the raising of their brother Lazarus, Mary takes some expensive perfume and anoints Jesus for his death. But it's also noted that Martha was there, serving the meal. Together, the two sisters meet Jesus' present needs and his future needs, and God is glorified. But is this gospel simply, is the gospel reading simply about prayer and action, being and doing? Bishop Tom Wright, in his commentary, suggests that it is more about breaking down barriers, redrawing boundaries. He points out that it immediately follows on from the parable of the Good Samaritan, where it is the despised Samaritan who turns out to be the good neighbor and the true citizen of God's new kingdom by reaching across the barrier of racial and religious division and showing mercy to the Jewish victim of the robbers. It may be less clear to us how barriers are broken down in today's gospel passage, but they surely are. Tom Wright suggests the real problem between Martha and Mary wasn't Martha's workload in the kitchen. It was that Mary was behaving as though she was a man. In that culture, homes were divided into male space and female space, and male and female roles were also strictly demarcated. Mary had crossed an invisible but important boundary within the house, and another equally important boundary within the social world. The public room was where the men would meet, the kitchen and other quarters, unseen by outsiders, belonged to the women. In the same way, to sit at the feet of a teacher was a decidedly male role. Mary stands for all those women who, when they hear Jesus speaking about the kingdom, know that God is calling them to listen carefully so that they can speak of it too. All this is true, I think, but it rather presents Martha as an unthinking traditionalist who is scandalized by Mary's actions and by Jesus' acceptance of them, which may be a trifle unfair. Martha, in her own way, may also have been challenging some boundaries. It may be why Jesus, the outsider, grew to love Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and why he felt so at home in Bethany. It would be wrong, then, to see Martha and Mary simply as models of the active and contemplative styles of spirituality, while still very appropriate to consider how these two styles are at work within our own lives. More challengingly, today's gospel reading asks us to consider where we and the church stand with regard to breaking down barriers of injustice and exclusion, so that Christ's message of repentance and love may be presented with integrity of word and deed. Amen.